Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the bottom of Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis. Before beginning the shiur, we recommend your printing out the daf, and better than that, even, would be to order your personal volume of Bava Basra from the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition. We left off last time in the middle of a discussion concerning the purchase of three trees and the acquisition of the land between those trees. The issue we were dealing with, what is the distance between the trees in order to enable the purchaser to get that land as well, the land between the trees? We introduce the idea that if the trees are planted too close to one another, it doesn't create an image of a Sdei Ilon, of a field of trees whereby one would get the trees obviously with the field, namely the pieces of land between them, but rather it would create an impression of a very dense planting. The Gemara refers to it as a forest, which is not a Sdei Ilon, and as a result of that he would not be entitled to get the land with it. On the other hand, if the trees are too spread out, then the trees have an identity of as individual trees and not part of a Sdei Ilon either. And likewise, in that case, the purchaser would not get the land between the trees. So what are the dimensions or the distances that would enable the purchaser to get the land? And as we saw a few lines above, there was a machlokes. We saw Rav Yosef quoting earlier opinions of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, who said between 4 and 8 amos would enable the purchaser to get the land. Rava, on the other hand, disagreed and said from 8 to 16 amos. Abaye approached Rav Yosef and said, "You ought not argue on the opinion that Rava quoted. He quoted Rav Nachman's opinion of Shmuel, because there was a Tanaic source supporting the Rav Nachman approach." With that, we pick up today's shiur, the bottom line, with Rav Yosef's response. You'll notice in the markings, in the space between the Gemara text, to the left of the Gemara text and the Rashbam, there's a space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, and you see Rav Yosef's name appears encircled with a vertical dashed line that goes and continues. You'll have to scroll over to see the Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. The idea behind this marking is that all of these lines that are opposite the dashed vertical line are part of Rav Yosef's speech, Rav Yosef's comment. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef responds to Abaye. Abaye said, "You should not argue and insist on your shita." Rav Yosef says, "Ano lo yodano. I don't agree. Literally, I don't know." But the Rashbam at the bottom line says, "Ano lo yodano klomar lo svirali. I don't agree with what you're saying. Ki hahi mishnah. I don't agree with your opinion as you try to bolster it from quoting the Tanaic source that we saw last time. Ela uvda have. Rather, an incident took place. Reb Shimon svirale kedala kamon. And in the incident, we'll see this incident agrees with the opinion of Reb Shimon, who appears on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph in a Tanaic source, the second source from the top, where the dimensions mentioned by Rav Yosef are confirmed. We will continue in the Gemara. Rav Yosef continues saying, "Ela uvda have, rather, an incident took place where one sold three trees to his friend, Bedura Dura Usa, in this city of shepherds." So we'll refer to it simply as a place called Dura Dura Usa. The Rashbam at the top, the Dura Durusa, Beir Shel Royim, Shemocher Echad Chaveru Shlosha Ilanos, where one sold to his friend three trees, Velo Hoya Ches Amos Beinayim, and there were not 8 Amos between them. In other words, it was a small distance between them. let's just review Rav Yosef's dimensions, or his distances were from 4 till 8, or is up till not including 8. That enables the buyer to get the land between them. So an incident took place over there. The Rashbam continues, V'yomale Rav Yehuda la-mocher, Rav Yehuda instructed the seller, Zil havle la-lokeach ha-karka. You have to give the buyer the land between the trees as well. V'yafagav di'ein b'neim elo kimlo bokor v'kelev. Even though the distance between them is that amount, called the space taken up by the plowing oxen and the kelev and the vessels, namely the plow. How much space do oxen and the plow take up? We'll see that a little bit later in the Gemara. That is the amount of distance between the trees, and at that point, if you have that amount of distance, the buyer gets the land. Continuing in the Gemara, so we said an incident took place there where there was a sale of three trees. We also look how made Rav Yehuda, and the case came to Rav Yehuda of Omar Le Zil Havle Kimlo Bokor Vekelov. And Rav Yehuda instructed the seller to give the buyer the amount of land that's between the trees, measuring the plowing animals and the vessels attached to it. Velo have yodano, Rav Yosef says, I didn't know kamlo boker v'kelo kamo have. I didn't know what that meant in terms of distance. How much space is kamlo boker v'kelo? However, I was able to figure it out from the following. We're going to see that it turns out to be 4 amas. How does that come to be? He says, Kevon de Shamas Laha Disnan, when I heard the following source, and you can see in the markings, the Tanaic source is contained in a frame. And the marking system that we've adopted shows that Tanaic sources stand out from the rest of the Gemara by having frames around them. This includes Mishnayos quotes, Braisa quotes, and restatements of those sources when necessary. So if we have a case here. It says, Lo yita odom ilon samach l'stei chavero. This is a source we learned earlier in this Masechta concerning the distancing of things between neighbors. So a person is instructed not to plant his tree next to his neighbor's field, Elim Ken Hirchik Nimeno Dalet Amos, unless he distances the tree 4 Amos from the field. Vitani Allah, and another Tanaic source commenting on this 4 Amos distance, explains Dalet Amos Sha'amru Kidei Avoidas Hakerem. It's the amount of space in order to cultivate one's vineyard. We've been learning Maseches Bava Basra along with the book of illustrations known as the Pirush Chai, authored by Rav Chaim Porush. And in this case, we can take advantage of illustration 646, that shows how the distance of 4 amas facilitates the cultivation of the trees, so that if a person has a vineyard and he's going to have to cultivate it with plows, plowing and aerating the soil with the oxen pulling the plow, it's obvious to us that it wouldn't be proper for his plow to encroach on the neighbor's field. So he has to set his trees in 4 amas from the border of the field, thereby leaving space for the oxen and plow to cultivate the area around the trees, around the vines. So the Gemara continues, Amino, Rav Yosef says, I figured from this combination of the Mishnah and Tanaic source that explained it, Shma Amino, Kemlo Boker V'Kelov, that dimension of Melo Boker V'Kelov equals 4 amas. That having been said, we now understand where Rav Yosef got his dimension from. The distance of 4 amas is the amount needed to cultivate trees. This, of course, was in line with Rav Yehuda's psak. There was a maisa that we saw at the top of the page concerning a case of the sale of three trees, and Rav Yehuda instructed, if there's a distance of kamalo boker v'kelo between the trees, he gets the land as well. Just to refine the point, the Tanaic source spoke about the Kedei Avodas HaKerem. Avodas HaKerem is something that's done by Boker V'Kelov. Hence, the four Amos. The Gemara goes on and suggests that Rav Yosef not only has this Maisa with Rav Yehuda in Dura Durusa to support him, but there seems to be a Tanaic source that supports Rav Yosef as well. In other words, we saw Abaye on the previous summit telling Rav Yosef not to disagree with the opposing opinion as presented by Rav Nachman because there was a source supporting Rav Nachman. Is there not a source supporting Rav Yosef as well? Let's take advantage of some of our markings here. You notice a diagonal dashed line under Rav Yosef and a dotted underline under the expression Milo Tnan. If you glance back at the previous Amud, Pei Beis Amud Beis, notice Rav Nachman is treated with the same type of marking as Rav Yosef, and there had been the expression Disnan Masnisim Kavosei, also dot underline. The reason for this marking is to show how to present a situation where they're balanced. Rav Nachman is balanced with Rav Yosef. Continuing in the Gemara, Bucha Rav Yosef mi lo tanan? Do we not have a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yosef? And the question, therefore, is why did Abaye say to Rav Yosef not to argue with Rav Nachman when, in fact, Rav Yosef has a source supporting him? The Ha Tanan, the following source, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Oimrim, Hanotea es Karmoi, Shmoine Amois al Shmoine, one whose vineyard has a distance between the rows of 8 amos, Mutur Lahavi Zera Lisham, one can bring a different species of plant and plant it there and not worry about the Isur of Kilayim, of mixing varieties, which the Torah prohibits. What does this mean? It means that if trees are 8 amas from one another, rows of trees are 8 amas from one another, they're disconnected. They don't form a vineyard. They don't have a din of a vineyard. They have a din of isolated trees. And as such, the restrictions that the halachas of Kilayim generally present to a vineyard don't apply over here because the trees are considered separate entities. So we see that if there's a full 8 amas between the trees, they're not connected with one another. What would you say if they're a bit less than 8 amas, up till not including 8 amas? They would be connected with one another, and as far as the sale of trees is concerned, the same din would apply. Namely, since they're viewed as connected with one another, the buyer would be entitled to receive the land between them as well. The question then is, why did Abaye come down hard on Rav Yosef when here's opinion and a Tanaic source supporting Rav Yosef? The Gemara responds, Afilu Hachi Maise Odif. Even so, a practical halachic ruling, as we saw at the top, where Rav Yehuda said that a Maise took place, and we see also in the Rashbam, we can take a look, Afilu Hachi Maise, the Tzalmon. The incident in Salmon, which was referred to in the Tanaic source on the previous Amud, that's called Rav, meaning it's significant. It's called a Maisa that has importance. The Hilkoch Omar Le Abaye Lo Tiflo Galei the Rav Nachman. The Maisa Hashonui B'Mishnah. An incident of a halachic ruling that appears in a Mishnah. Vahi Mishnah Iker Tfei Mehafter of Shimon. And that incident, and that source, the bottom of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, is more significant than Rav Shimon's ruling. The Samchinana Uvda. We mentioned that a Maisa took place involving Rav Yehuda. The Rashbam is emphasizing even more than that, the Maisa that was that took place in Salmon. Let's just take a little note of our markings. When the Gemara says here, afilu hachi maisa, or if we've dashed underlined the expression maisa, that is to draw your attention to the arrow that is to the immediate left of the Gemara. Notice it says an arrow with pei beis, amud beis. Go back to pei beis, amud beis, and try to find a parallel arrow which would indicate pei gimel amud aleph, indicating that when you're on pei beis amud beis, you should be looking for this arrow. And you'll see there, four lines from the bottom. In fact, it's pointing to the line where the expression maisa comes up. The word maisa there was squiggle underlined, and that's because of this particular Gemara. So the Gemara is making a reference to that. We wanted to emphasize its significance. Continuing in the Gemara. Bishlamo l'Rav Yosef Aliba d'Rav Shimon. As far as the distances are concerned, when you look at Rav Yosef and basing him on Rav Shimon, Shaminon le mefuzarin v'shaminon le ritzufin. We know both dimensions, the minimum distance and maximum distance between the trees. Mefuzarin ha de'amoran. We've noted a little aleph here because of the line just above where the aleph was circled. The Gemara told us that Shaminon le mefuzarin. We've heard the din of mefuzarin, the distance. And the Gemara here at this point says that the mefuzarin is that which we said. One might ask, well, where did we say that? The maximum distance. Take advantage of your markings again. Notice the arrows on the right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Rashbam and the Gemara. And your eye seeks out a parallel arrow. And notice just a few lines above, you see in a source where Rav Shimon's name appeared, and it mentions Shmoina Amos. Shmoina Amos was the maximum shear, namely up till 8 amas, not including, the maximum distance between trees to enable the trees to be considered connected with one another. What about the second point, the minimum shear, the minimum distance, as far as Rav Shimon is concerned? Ritzufin, Desnan. The Gemara says Ritzufin as is taught in the following Tanaic source. And again, you see several lines framed. The source says, Kerem hanatua al pochos midalet amos enoi kerem, divrei Rabbi Shimon. A vineyard, namely grapevines, that are planted in rows that are less than 4 amos from one another, is not considered a vineyard. It's rather considered a dense planting. We'll call it a forest, where we say that those trees that are so densely planted are destined to be uprooted. The Chachamim omrim kerem. The Chachamim say that even though it's densely planted, there are many rows here, one after the other, that are within 4 amas of one another. The Chachamim say it has a din of kerem. The royin es ha'emtsoim ki'ilu einon. We view those rows that are too close to one another as if they're not there. This is a stringency. This creates a stringency, because if you say we're going to view it as a kerem, you're basically saying that you'll have the restriction of bringing other varieties of plants over there. For our purposes, though, we see the two distances. We saw mefuzarin, that was aleph, just a few lines up, and beis ritzufin within Rabbi Shimon. Namely, mefuzarin is 8 amas, not including ritzufin. The dense is within 4 amas. If it's, however, from 4 amas up till 8 amas, that's considered a legitimate type of distancing between trees that would form a connection between them. And in the case of a purchase, you would get the land between them. So we accounted for Rav Yosef's opinion, and that's why the Gemara said a few lines up, Bishlamo l'Rav Yosef aliba d'Rabbi Shimon. Notice also how we squiggle underline that expression, Bishlama Ravisav Libra Shimon, that is to draw your attention to the next point. Elo Rav Nachman Aliba Durabana. Notice the similar squiggle underline. This shita, this opinion, is not as comfortable. Why? Mifuzarin Shamin on Lay. As far as what the maximum distance is the 16 amas, that we heard already. That was taught in the source on the previous Omid, the bottom of the previous Omid, at the point in which the Gemara suggested that Rav Nachman has a source supporting him. Ritzufin mi shamin alei. Where do we see his shi'ur, namely of 8 amas, being considered too closely planted? That if the rows of trees, or in the case of sale of trees, they are less than 8 amas, they're considered too dense. The Gemara answers, Savora hu. It's a matter of logic. Midler Reb Shimon palgo, from the fact that according to Reb Shimon, the ritzufin, the denseness, was one half of the spread out of the mefuzarin. We saw that in a 4-8 relationship. The Rabbanan nami palgo, we can assume the same thing with regard to the Rabbanan. If their spread out distance is 16, so their ritzufin distance would be half of that, 8. Hence, 8-16. Omar Rava. Rava introduces a new approach to the issue of distancing, and he combines the shitas. Hilchisa, me arba amos v'ad sheish esrei. If the three trees that are sold have these dimensions, that from 4 amos up till 16 amos, that is considered a state, ilan, and hence the purchaser would be entitled to the land between them. Tanya Kavosei de Rava, we have a Tanaic source supporting Rava as well. And all we have to do is pay attention to the dimensions. Notice we have Aleph, and later in the source, Beis. Kama yu mekurovin. Answer, Arba Amos. What's the minimum shear between trees that will enable the buyer to get the land between them? 4 amas. Vakama yu meruchakin. What's the maximum? Sheshesrei. Notice how we've dot underlined arba amas and sheshesrei. Hareze kona karka v'esayilona shebeinayim. This is exactly what Rava said. Lefikoch. Yovash ha'ilon o niksatz yesh lo karka. As a result of having these dimensions, if the trees that the purchaser acquired dry out or got cut down, the purchaser has the land and can replant trees there. Pochos mikan oy yeser alkan. If the purchaser does not have these dimensions, namely the pochos mikan, namely less than 4 amas between the trees, or more than 16 amas between the trees. Oh, another scenario. Oshalokhan boze acharze. Or the purchase was not of 3 trees at one shot. Rather, he bought one tree, and then another tree, and then a third tree. Hareze lo kona. Lo es hakarka, velo es ha'ilonu shebeinehem. He doesn't get the land between those trees, nor does he get other trees that might be growing between the specific ones that he bought. Lefikach, Yova Sho'ilan Oy Niksatz, Ein Loy Karka. As we said before, this is just the opposite, that if the if he lacks the dimensions that were necessary to acquire land, and if the tree dries out or got cut down, he doesn't have the land, and he cannot replant anything in their stead. Before continuing in the Gemara, we will take notice of the geometric form, this house form. We may have noted a geometric form in the Tanakh source that was a volcano shape. This was to emphasize the word lefikach, which was really the conclusion of the dimensions, the halachic conclusion of what happens when you have the dimensions, what happens when you don't. As far as this shape is concerned, the house shape, notice the introductory note on the outside margin of the page. It's entitled Nosei Mivneh. In the marking process, marking edition, we feature topic headings, known as Nosei, and structural notes, known as Mivneh. Sometimes we combine them in one heading, and that's what we'll do over here. The house form is expressed on the site, Sidro Shel She'elois, the Inyan Mechiras Eitzim, a series of questions regarding the sale of trees, Ruchishas HaKarkas Rivoisam, and the acquisition of land around those trees. In other words, questions that are focused on the topic that we've been dealing with. The first question is here. You'll notice a few lines later, again, Boi Rav Yirmiya, and three lines from the bottom, another question, and on the Omid Beis, Pei Gimel Omid Beis, the top, another one, and three lines from the top, another question. The markings, as you can see, serve to introduce the sugya, and you get a topical view even before you learn the Gemara. You see the layout and the structure. Geometric forms, as has been mentioned in the past, serve to connect one idea with the next, to form a series, or to follow the give and take of the Gemara. In this case, as was indicated on our note on the side, we form a series of questions. Starting the series, Boi Rabbi Yirmiya, Kishuhu Moideid, when he comes to measure the distance between the trees, from what point on the tree does he make the measurement? To appreciate this a little bit more, we can make reference to our book of illustrations, the Pirush Chai, illustration 649. In this illustration, the different options are presented. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiya asks, when he comes to measure mimokom kotzar hu moideid o mimokom rochav hu moideid. The mokom kotzar means the narrow point of the tree. The Rashbam, right under the Gemara, says mimokom kotzar migoiva geza ho ilon moideid hatezayin amos vadalan amos. From the upper part of the trunk where it narrows, does he there measure the 14, the 16 or 4 amos? And the Rashbam continues, O mimokom roichav, samuch lekarka hu av, low down near the ground where the trunk is thick, maybe from there he makes the measure. Rashbam goes on to present an alternative opinion, but we will stick with this first opinion. The Gemara answers, Amar lei Rav Kaviyo mibeik seal l'ravashi. After having been asked, Mimokom kotzer modeid o mimokom rochav hu modeid, Rav Gvia mibeik seal answers, Toshma. We're going to bring a source, a Tanaic source, Toshma disnan, and as a result of learning this source, we're going to discover he measures from a middle point, a point that we call Beinoni. Before learning the source, we might take advantage of illustration 650. As far as the explanation of the source, the Meforshim disagree. There's a different opinions as to the explanation of the details of the source, but using the Rashbam's explanation, we're going to be discussing the grafting of a vine. Horakuva, from the word laharkiv or harkova, this has to do with grafting. Horakuva shebegefen, einoi moideid elo miikir hasheni. The Rashbam, you can find this by looking for the Rashbam with the double asterisk. Kishu moideid, dalet amos beitayim. In order to measure the vines and to establish whether or not you have a vineyard is in effect the minimum type of vineyard is the planting of two vines, opposite two vines, and a fifth vine jutting out from the end of this configuration. When the measuring is done, to discover whether you have the necessary 4 amas between them, he does the measuring from the Iker Hasheni. It's the second knot. And one can use the illustration to see this. The Rashbam points out that just like regarding the dinim of kilayim are concerned, in other words, the dinim of establishing whether you have a kerem or not, so too the same method of measuring will apply to distance between trees and to establish whether you get the land along with it. So we have this source to answer the question of from what point? Answer, from Iker Hasheni, meaning a midway point on the tree. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. We can look at illustration 654 to appreciate this question. Moharlo Shloisha Bade Ilon Mahu. Take a look at the Rashbam. Gimel Bade Ilon, Ilon Echod Moharlo. Fellow sold one tree, Sheshlo Sholosh Badim Ruchokim Zemize Dalid Amos, has a total of three outgrowths. In effect, there's an impression created there are three trunks. It's really one tree that has one basic trunk and root system. But as Rashbam explains, Vehelo Hakaka Sirtoin, as a result of soil displacement, there was an accumulation of soil around the base of this tree. This is a point we've seen earlier in the limud of these sugyas. V'nirin b'shas mechira k'sholoisho ilonos. As a result of the elevation of the soil level around the base of this particular tree, it appeared as if there are three trees, as you can see in the illustration. Mi azlinon boser guf ha'ilon demine karavu. Do we base our halacha regarding the land acquisition? Do we base it on the original trunk of the tree from which these outgrowths are growing? And if you say you look at the original base of the tree, the ein lo karka, it's only one tree sold, hence he's not entitled to receive the land along with the tree. Odilma kivan the nishrishu kol echod bakarka, since as a result of each one of these outgrowths and the raised soil enabling them to take root separately in the ground, kona karka, v'afagav de michberi mitachas lekarka, even though ultimately they're attached to one another underneath. Question having been asked, is there land acquired with this? Omar le Rav Kvia mibeik seal or Ravashi. Same name as we saw in addressing the question before. Toshma Disnan. We have the following source. Hamavrich Shloisha Gefanim V'ikrehen Nirin. Illustration 655 demonstrates what is taking place here. Havrocha is a situation where an original vine, is a branch of it is taken, and midway along the branch, the owner bends the branch and has it beneath the soil level, and the end of the branch protruding further on out of the ground. Ultimately, at the point that the branch is bent under the ground, a root system will develop, and we call it two for the price of one. Namely, you start off with one vine, and eventually you're going to get two vines. So someone did this with three vines. The Ikrein Nirin means they took root. Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, Im Yesh Beinehen Midalat Amos V'Ad Shmoina, if there is this distance between them, this happens to be the same sheet that we saw above in the name of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, between 4 and 8 amas, mitstarfin, they connect up with one another in the sense that they form a halachic vineyard. And the same din as mitstarfin with regard to halachic vineyard will apply to tree purchase and acquisition of land between. Vim lav, If, however, these dimensions are not present, if, let's say, they're too close, they're within 4 amas, the branch protrusion is within 4 amas of the original plant, ein mitzdarfen. They don't join up to form a halachic vineyard, but are rather viewed as individual vine plants. So, if the question was answered regarding the Shlosha Bade Ilon, does that present a scenario where one could get the land between them? The answer is yes, provided they have the necessary dimensions. Another question, boy, Rav Popo. Mochar lo shnayim besoich sadehu v'echod al hameitzar ma'u. To appreciate this, the illustration will be very helpful. 656. Person sold a total of 3 trees. However, 2 of the trees were located in a field, and the 3rd tree was on the border. The Rashbam, toward the bottom of the page, V'echor al hametzar, mi havya haflogo, velo mitzdaref. Is this considered a distancing, or too great a distancing, and hence it would not join up to form 3, it wouldn't be considered a sale of 3 trees. We rather call a sale of 2 trees plus 1. Delo domi l'stei ha'ilan. It doesn't give the impression of being a field of trees. When we talk about a stei ilan, as we've mentioned earlier, if one is acquiring a stei ilan, he's getting trees with land. And since this might not appear to be a stei ilan, as the Rashbam continues, velo kona karka, and as a result he does not get the land between them, o dilma kona, or maybe he does. Another question is raised. Shnayim besoich sheloi ve'echod besoich shel chaviro. Mai. Let's say a person is selling 2 trees that the seller happens to own the land in which the 2 trees are located, and the seller happens to own a 3rd tree in someone else's field. The question is, according to the Rashbam, it seems that the 3rd tree that's in the neighbor's field, that particular tree happens to have land around it that's owned by the seller. So what we have here is a seller that's selling 2 trees that sit in his field, literally, and a 3rd tree that has land around it that also is owned by the seller. The question here is, do these 3 trees join up with one another in order to create a stei ilan and hence the acquisition of the land between them on the part of the buyer? The Gemara says, "My, what is the din? Teku," and these questions are not resolved. The last 2 questions are not resolved. Another question as we flip over to Amud Beis. Be a series of questions that appear under the same heading. And the Rashbam explains, if you say that in the previous examples the trees do join up, namely there is no hafsaka, because there's no physical block between the trees, what happens in cases where you do have physical blocks between the trees, physical separations between the trees? Is there a chance that the trees will join up all the same? So, boy ravashi, bor mahu shetafsik. Let's say a pit of water is placed or exists between the trees that were sold. Do they prevent the trees from joining up with one another, and hence they would be considered as separate trees and no land acquired along with them? Amas hamayim mahu Shetapsik. Illustration 657. What about a stream of water? Is that a mafsik? In other words, even if you say that the bor is not a mafsik, what would be the din regarding a stream? Rishus harabim mahu. What about a public thoroughfare that runs between the trees? But even if the Amas Hamayim is not mafsik, what would the din be regarding Rishus HaRabin? Richba Didikle Mahu, illustration 658. What would be the din of a row of palms that is between the trees that were sold? According to the Rashbam, this would be considered the greatest hefsek of all. But still the question is asked, is it an actual hefsek? Teku. Likewise, these questions remain unresolved. Ba'al minei Hillel me Rebbe. The Gemara that appears on our marked edition, you can see there's a bracketed line. Inside the bracketed section, as is indicated by our note on the inside margin, Besoch HaSograim Nimsa Loshon Deboi Tikun. The note on the inside margin indicates that the Loshon of the Gemara text, inside these brackets is a text that the Gemara feels needs to be restated. Language attention. As a result of that, the way we recommend learning such Gemaras, when you see brackets and a note that indicates the language inside needs correction, we recommend first reading the question as is to be finally understood so that you get a sense of smoothness of Gemara, and then we reread it with the text that's enclosed. So we'll do that now. Boi minei Hillel me Rebbe, hoya erez beinehen mahu. At the point of sale, three trees were sold, and they were specified. There happened to be at the point of sale an unmentioned tree, an erez tree. Is that included in the sale? Let's read the Gemara again. Bo minei Hillel merevi. This time, straight with the text in the brackets. Olo erez beinei and mahu. After the sale, in other words, there was a sale of three trees with the necessary distances between them to entitle the buyer to get the land. And there sprouted forth an erez tree later on. What's the din? Does the buyer get that tree? The Gemara feels this is it's an obvious conclusion. Allah, the Gemara says with wonderment, what it grew later. Birushus hadidei nafak, it grew in his possession. The buyer of the trees got the land between the trees. So when this erez tree grows later on, he's already the owner of the land between the trees. So of course it belongs to the buyer. So what's the question? Ella. The question is restated, Elahoya Erez Beinehen Mahu. At the time of the sale, the Erez tree was already present. Does the buyer who bought three particular trees, does the buyer get this Erez tree that was there at the point of the sale? Omar Lei. Rebbe answers, Kana Vikana. He certainly gets the Erez tree as well. At this point, let us take advantage of our topic heading on the outside margin, the Nose. The note says, Be'ezet Sura Nituim Ho'etzim. Kedei lizkois bakarka shebeinehem. In which form or shape do the three trees form? Which shape do the three trees form in order to enable the purchaser to get the land between them? Up till now, we've discussed the distances between the trees. When you have three trees, we can view it in terms of geometry, we can say three points. Are the three points located in a row? Or what other shape could three points possibly create? Of course, a triangle. The Gemara continues inside. Ketzad hein oindim. How are the trees positioned in order for us to say that the buyer gets the land? Rav Omar ke shura. They're in a row. Ushmul Omar ke chatsuva. Chatsuva is essentially a tripod, but we'll refer to it as a triangle. Man de Omar kishura. One who says that the trees, even though they're planted in a row, the purchaser gets the land along with them. We can say that trees that are planted in a row is a situation that's very easy for the owner of the field to plow between the trees. The trees as planted in a row, a person can maneuver his plow row after row and not encounter much interference. If that be the case, that even though the trees are planted in a row and it's easy for the field owner to plow his field, and nevertheless the purchaser of the trees gets that strip of land between the trees, kol shekein kechatsuva, then all the more so if the trees were planted in a triangle form, where the land between the trees, in that case, is not so easy to cultivate. And as such, the owner of the field is that interested in keeping the land between the trees for himself. So certainly, the buyer of the trees would get the land. However, uman de omar kechatsuva, the shita that said, namely Shmuel, that said, that when is the land acquired by the purchaser? Only if they are set up as a triangle, in a triangle form. Avol kishura, if the trees are forming a row, loy, then the buyer does not get the land between them. My taimo, why is that? Why is it that if they're set up as a row, does the buyer of the trees not get the land between them? Answer, Mishum de Mizdera bintayu. Mizdera, you can see, is a word whose root has in it the word zera. Namely, the space between the trees is easily planted. Therefore, the seller will keep that for himself. The Gemara now asks a question. You'll notice in the space between the Gemara and the Tosis, namely to the left hand, the immediate left hand side, right hand side of the Gemara text, between it and the Tosfos, in the space you'll notice a kuf that's circled with a dashed vertical line. This is a kushya, abbreviated by the kuf, a question, a long question, lasting all the lines that are opposite this particular vertical dashed marking. Maskif lo rapuna, ulaman di omar kechatsuva, mai taimo, according to the opinion that said that, namely Shmuel, who said that if it's planted, if the three trees are planted in a triangle, the buyer gets the land, my time, or delo mizdera bintayu. It's because it's not easy for the owner of the field who's selling the trees to cultivate his field in the space between three trees planted in a triangle. Elo me'ato, we'll raise the question, if that be so, zovin le tlas higi rumaisa. If there was a sale of three thorn bushes, we'll call the thorn bushes a form of tree. So it's a sale of three trees. But since they're thorny, people don't like to get up close to them. The lo mizdera bintayu, people don't cultivate the land between them. Hochi nami dieshlo karta. Are you going to say that in such a case the buyer would be entitled to the land even if they are planted in a row? If the whole din is a result of plantability, then according to that standard you have three thorn bushes that are planted in a row, and according to what we suggested above, things that are not easily cultivated, the buyer would get the land. Is that so, even if they're planted in a row? Omar Lay, Hanoch lo chashivi, the thorn bushes lack significance. Hanoch, the three trees planted in a triangle, chashivi. This information creates a new approach, or a combination approach, which is as follows. In order for the buyer to get the land around the trees, we need two factors. We need, first of all, the trees to be chashuv, and we need that the land around them is not cultivated. If those two properties or two factors are in place, the buyer will get the land. Therefore, if you have three thorn bushes, even if they're planted in a row, we're going to say that let's refine that. We can say even if they're planted in a triangle, three thorn bushes planted in a triangle, the buyer will not get the land because thorn bushes are not considered important enough to be cultivated. The Mishnah. In this Mishnah, you'll notice the appearance of geometric forms. The diamond is used, and the note on the outside margin, the Mivneh, points out that the diamonds appear around the word gasa, meaning a large animal, daka, a small animal. Generally speaking, we talk about a behema gasa and a behema daka. We refer to cows versus tzon, or sheep and goats. The Mishnah talks about the sale of parts of these animals, the sale of meat value. Hamocher roish behema gasa. Lo mochar es haraglayim. The Mishnah is assuming that we're aware of certain practices of meat sales and is listing off the practices as was appreciated at the time of the Mishnah. And since a large animal head is of significance in and of itself, the one who buys that doesn't expect to get anything in addition to it. Therefore, the Mishnah says that he doesn't get along with the purchase of the head, the animal's legs. Mochar es haraglayim, lo mochar es harosh. Mochar es hakone, lo mochar es hakovei. If a person bought the kone, kone in terms of the Mishnah here refers to the breathing apparatus, the lungs, which are attached to the official kone, which is the trachea. Person bought that from a behemoth gasa, he does not get along with it the liver. Mochar es hakoved, lo mochar es hakone. Avol, bedaka, however, when you're dealing with a small animal, the expectations change. Mochar es harosh, mochar es haraglayim. If someone purchased the animal, the head of a small animal, of a goat or sheep, there's very little meat on that. It's considered very insignificant. So when he's buying the head, he's really expecting to get something else along with it. And the Mishnah says that he gets along with it the legs. However, mochar es haraglayim, which have significance in and of themselves, lo mochar es harosh. Mochar es hakone, mochar es hakoved. Mochar es hakoved, loy mochar es hakone. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, up till this point, we will find that the Gemara does not discuss it. The Gemara will be discussing, however, the continuation of the Mishnah. Arba midos b'mochrin. Therefore, halachas concerning sales. Of course, the four halachas concern the sales that we'll be dealing with here. There are many, many more halachas concerning mekach or memkar in the shas. But we're going to be dealing with four different halachas regarding opportunities for buyer and or seller to back out. Mochar lo chitin. A sale of wheat took place. Yofos venimsu rois. It was said that the sale would be of good quality wheat, and after the sale was concluded, it turned out they were poor quality. It would appear that the buyer loses out. He anticipated getting good quality. It turned out he got bad quality. Halokeach yochol lachzerboy. You notice the use of a double underline. It's used to form a series because in addition to geometric forms in our marking system, we also use the double underline to create the same impression. On the side of our Gemara, on the outside margin, we have a structural note, Mivneh, Dalid Midois Bamochrim. These double underlines will be bringing out the four different halachas. We continue. Halacha number two, Rois Venimsu Yafois. This is, again, a case of sale of wheat. And the sale was supposed to be a sale of poor quality wheat, and it turned out that it was high quality. Who is said to be losing out in such a case? The seller. He thought he was selling poor quality, and it turned out it was good quality that was sold. Mocher yochol lavzerbo. Three. Rois venimsu rois. Yofois venimsu yofois. Ein echod mehem yochol lavzerbo. The Rashbam points out that you might have thought that this is obvious. In other words, what was sold is what turned out to be in fact sold. What was claimed to be the sale turned out to be thusly. The Rashbam says, "Ein echod mehem yochol lavzerbo v'afilu im hukar hashar." Even if the price of the item sold goes up, the nisane mocher. If the price after the sale goes up, so the seller, in a sense, loses out. He sold something, could have gotten more money for it. Oy huzal hashar, nisane lokeach. Or, after the sale took place, the price dropped. In other words, the purchaser paid more money for the item than he could have paid right now. The Rashban continues, the Sakadaita Chamina, I might have thought, the Hecha de Huzal Hashar, the Roitze Lokeach Lachzor, where the price went down and the purchaser wants to back out. Motzi Toin Gabi Rois Venimsu Rois. Maybe he could claim where the case he thought he was buying poor quality turned out to be poor quality. He could say, Ani Liofos Niskavanti. I really thought I was going to be getting good quality stuff. Behind the Amiloch Rois, and that which I said I wanted poor quality, not mishum disrat seisi, not because I really wanted that, el mishum de ra ra yoimar hakoine, kedomar bagemora. Rather, it's because it's known for purchasers to say, oh, I'll take any quality, I'll take even bad quality. V'chein hecha de hukar hashar. Likewise, in the case where the price went up, v'roitze mocher lachzer, and the seller wants to back out because he figures, well, I could get more for it right now if I wouldn't have sold it. Maybe the seller could have said in such a case where he sold good and it turned out to be good, oh, I really thought I was selling bad stuff. Oh, the amri yofos, and that which I said I'm selling good, the toiv toiv yomar hamocher. Because sellers say things like that. They simply blurt it out. But I wasn't really serious that I was selling good stuff. De midara ra yoimar halokeach. Just like we saw that purchasers say, oh, I was willing to take anything. Hamocher omer tov tov. Kamashmalon the travail lo motsu hadri. The point of the mission is to say that neither one can back out. Hoil the nimsa kamosha amru shnehem, because what turned out after the sale is what they originally agreed upon at the beginning. Vadin the mocher stam shelo pirshu loy rois velo yofos dein echad mehem yochol lavzor. And similarly, in a case where a sale was not specified at the outset, neither one can back out. Halacha number 4, shachamsis v'nimseis levona. Shachamsis refers to red wheat. There are two types of wheat, red and white wheat. The sale was supposed to be over red wheat. It turned out to be white. Levono v'nimseis shachamsis. Eitzim shel zayis v'nimsu shel shikmo. Shel shikmo v'nimsu shel zayis. Yayin v'nimsu chometz, or a case of sale of wine, it turned out that it was vinegar. Chometz v'nimsu yayin. Shnehem yecholim lavzor bohem. Both parties have an option of backing out. In other words, what was claimed to be sold, in fact, turned out to be something different. And since it's not what was claimed, the right for both parties to back out exists. We call this a mekach tois. The Rashbam says, "Venimseis levona shnehem tou." The kevon dehisnalo limkor shachamsis chofetoyo laakev halavona. Since the seller agreed to sell the red variety, he really intended to withhold the white. The gamalokeach loyo chofetz belavona kiim b'shachamsis. And similarly, the buyer anticipated getting red, he did not want to get the white. So you have a case where both were losing out. V'chein kol hanoch dikotoni v'yozil tavu shnei minin. Similarly, with all the cases that were enumerated at the end of the Mishnah, we're doing two different varieties: v'ikot nichole b'hai v'lo nichole b'hai, where one party likes this, he doesn't like the other. Hilkoch havi mekach tois u'shneim nisanu, hilkoch shneim chozrin. V'afopi Sheshove yofe ma shekonu. Even if there's no discrepancy regarding values, in other words, the red wheat might be the same value as the white wheat. Miu ein chafetzim b'mechirazu lo lakoyach v'lo mocher. However, neither party is happy with what happened. Avol gabi chitin yofois v'rois kuleyama nichulu b'yofois v'lo b'rois. This is opposed to the earlier case of the Mishnah, where you have good quality versus bad quality. Everyone prefers good quality. Where the mocher wanted to have the good for himself, and the buyer wanted to have the good for himself. Hence, the controversy between the two of them is over the same item. At this point, we will conclude our shiur for today,